in Daf Chav Zayin. So Yehuda had said that you could daven Shacharis until 4 hours. So we asked, is this including the fourth hour or not? Meaning, can you daven Shacharis into the fourth hour or not? So we said that by Mincha, you can only daven ad Plaga Mincha, until half of Mincha. So if it's not including Plaga Mincha, then that's good. But what's the problem if we say that it is including Plaga Mincha? Then it's the same opinion as the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan say you could daven Mincha until night, and if Rabbi Yehuda is including Plaga Mincha, then he would also be saying you could daven Mincha until night, and then both of them are saying that Mincha goes until night. So you have to say that it's not including Plaga Mincha, so too Rabbi Yehuda is not including the fourth hour. But the end of the Mishnah later on says that you could daven Musaf the whole day, and Rabbi Yehuda says you could daven Musaf until the seventh hour. So we have a braisa that says if you had to daven two tilos, you had to daven mincha and you had to daven musaf. The Rabbanan say you should daven mincha first because it's more frequent. But Rabbi Yehuda says you should daven musaf first because the time for musaf is going to pass because mincha can be said later in the day than musaf. So fine. So if we're going to say that we're not including, say if we're going to say that we're including the time for the seventh hour, then we can have both Mincha and Musaf can coincide. Meaning if Musaf goes into the seventh hour, including the seventh hour, then Mincha and Musaf can be at the same time. But if we're not including the seventh hour, then Mincha ends at the sixth hour. So how can we, and Musaf doesn't start until into the seventh hour. So how do we have a case where both Mincha and Musaf would coincide unless Rabbi Yehuda would say you are including the fourth hour, and you are including the seventh hour. So how do we make sense of that? So we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is really including the fourth and the seventh hour. That's what we have to say. But then, what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan by Mincha? Because if we say that we're including the fourth hour, and we're including the seventh hour, and we're including Plaga Mincha, we're including all those times, then Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan are both saying that Mincha goes until night. So he said, when we said that you have until Plaga Mincha, we thought that it was including the latter half of Mincha Ketana, meaning that you could go until night. But what we really meant to say is it's only including the first half of Mincha Ketana. Mincha Ketana, Plaga Mincha splits between the two halves of Mincha Ketana. So Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you can daven into the first half of Mincha Ketana, but you can't daven from half of Mincha Ketana until nighttime. And that's what the Braisa means to say, that the end of the first half of Mincha Ketana and the beginning of the second half of Mincha Ketana is that 10 and 3 quarters hours, which serves as the transition point. Rav Nachman says that we have a Mishnah which proves this. Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava testified to five things. He testified to, one is where we tell a minor daughter that she is allowed to reject the marriage of an older person, that of a man that was set up by her mother or her brother. Because that's only derabbanan. If her father dies, then she can reject that marriage retroactively. The second is that we can rely on one aide to testify that he saw this woman's husband, that he was dead. If her husband went away on vacation or whatever, then we allow one aide to say, yeah, I saw your husband was dead. The third is that we stoned a rooster for killing a man, and we might have thought that only applies to an ox, but we're coming to teach that even any animal can be stoned for killing a human. The fourth is that we had this 40-day-old wine, which was used on the Mizbeach, and we might have thought that after 40 wouldn't be old enough to meet the requirements, but it's coming to because it has to be, the wine has to be aged to a certain amount to be used on the Mizbeach. This is coming to teach that 40 days is all that's needed. And the fifth thing is that the morning karban, the tamishal shachar, was brought during the fourth hour, which teaches that until is, when it says ad, that means it's ad ve'ad bechlal, including the fourth hour. So Kahana says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda because the Mishnah in Adios, which is the best mesechta, because that is the bottom line halacha, there's no machlokas there, supports Rabbi Yehuda because the Mishnah says that the tamid shel shachar can be brought until the fourth hour. So Abraisa says v'chama shemesh v'nimas, that the sun grew hot and it would melt, talking about the man, that when the day got later it would melt the man. So this is talking about we said this is talking about 4 hours, and we said it's not talking about 6 hours, because when the pasuk says kechom hayom, when it just says kechom hayom, that's talking about the sixth hour. But here when it says that the sun is hot and it melted, that means that the sun is hot but the shade is cool. So when's the time when the sun is hot and the shade is cool? So Rav Acha bar Yaakov says the time when the sun is hot and the shade is cool is the fourth hour. So we said that this can't be going like either Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim, because it says Bnei Yisrael collected the man in the morning, and after the morning, the sun would melt the remaining man that was left. So if this time, the 4 hours into the day, is after the morning, that can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says the end of the fourth hour is still considered morning. And the Chachamim themselves say that until Chatzos is still considered morning, and here we're saying only until the end of the third hour. So how does that make sense? So the Chachamim say, because the pasuk says Boker twice, it's splitting the morning into two parts. In the first part, they would gather all the man during the first 3 hours of the morning, and then in the second 3 hours of the morning, it would melt, and that's how, even though the entire time is still considered morning, they were only collecting the first half of the morning. But Yehuda is saying the fact that it says Boker twice is saying that the collection would end, they would collect the man an hour until an hour before morning ended, and then in the hour preceding the end of morning, it would melt. So until the third hour, they would collect the man, and then the third to the fourth hour, it would melt, and that's how both opinions work. Fine. So we said that Mincha could be said until the night, and Rabbi Yehuda says until Plaga Mincha. So Rabbi Chisda says to Rav Yaakov, so by Shachris, Rav Kahana said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because it says that in Adios. But what about by Mincha? Is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yitzchak didn't answer. He didn't know. But Rav Chisda says, well, Rav would daven Marv of Shabbos on Erev Shabbos before it was nighttime. And this could only be like Rabbi Yehuda, who allows Marv to be said while it's still daytime. But the Chachamim say you have to wait until night. So this clearly shows that if he was davening Marv before nighttime, then he's holding like Rabbi Yehuda. But Rav Chisda says that, Rav Huna and the Rabbanan wouldn't daven Mariv for Shabbos until it was nighttime. So we see that they weren't davening until it got night, until it was dark, just like the Chachamim. So he said, since we're not sure if the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbanan, you can either do like Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanan, whichever you want. You can either daven before nighttime or after nighttime. But the Rishonim bring down that you have to be consistent, that you either have to pick one opinion or the other. So Rav went to the house of Gneva, and he davened Marv on Erev Shabbos, before it was Shabbos, and he davened with Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, who was his student. He davened behind him, and Rav finished his davening, but he wouldn't interrupt Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba's davening. So we learned three things from this. We say that you could daven Marv of Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. We said that a student should daven behind their Rebbe, and we taught that you can't pass before someone who's davening. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi does say that you can't pass before someone who's davening. But Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi would pass before people davening all the time. So no, they would pass outside of the four amos. Within someone's four amos, you should not pass before them. We said, how could Rabbi Yirmiyahu daven behind his Rabbi Yirmiyahu Arba daven behind his Rebbe? Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav that a person shouldn't daven next to or behind his Rav, behind his Rebbe. And Abraisa says in the name of Rabbi Lezer that if you daven behind your Rebbe, or you greet them, or you return their greeting as you would with a normal person, or you open up a new yeshiva without their permission, or you say something that's not learned from his Rebbe, then you cause the Shechina to leave Bnei Yisrael. But nonetheless, he's saying that you can't daven behind your Rebbe. So how do we understand this? Today, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba was a special case because he was on the same level as Rav. So even though he did learn Torah from him, he was on the same level, so he was allowed to daven behind him. And we see a proof from this because when Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba said to his Rebbe, he said to Rebbe, did you stop doing malacha after you davened Marv? Meaning, did you bring in Shabbos? And Rebbe said, yes, I did bring in Shabbos. But when he spoke to him, he didn't say, did the master stop doing malacha, showing that he wasn't speaking to him in this, you know, really respectful way that you should only speak to your Rebbe, which proved that they were on the same level. Fine. So we said, but how could he stop doing malacha? How did he take in Shabbos? Rav Avin says that Rebbe would daven Mariv on Erev Shabbos, and then he would go to bathe. After davening Mariv, after seemingly taking in Shabbos, he went to bathe. So Rava says, no, he went to take a steam bath, and this was before the Gzeira. The Rabbanan said this is not allowed. So even though he did take in Shabbos, for him, it wasn't really doing any malacha at that time. But we know that Abaye allowed Rav Dimi bar Levi to do malacha after he davened on Erev Shabbos. He brought in Shabbos early and he did malacha. No, because Rav Dimi bar Levi accidentally brought in Shabbos. It was an accident when he davened, so it doesn't count. We said, so what if he davened by accident? Avidan brings in a case of this community that thought Shabbos was over because it was a really cloudy day. So they davened Mariv of Motzei Shabbos, and then the clouds dispersed, and they saw, oh, look at that, it's still day. That's really awkward. So they went to Rebbe, and they said, what should we do? Should we daven again? And Rebbe said, no, you don't have to daven again, which shows that an accidental davening is still a valid davening. So how could Rav Dimi bar Levi do malacha even though he brought in Shabbos by accident? It shouldn't make a difference. So he said, no, by a tzibor, we don't want to trouble them to daven again. And therefore, for them, we'll allow their accidental marv to count. But by an individual, then an accidental davening can be reversed. So Bechiah Bar Avin says that Rav would daven Mariv on Erev Shabbos. And did he say Kiddush or not? When he brought in Shabbos early, did he say Kiddush or not? Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel that you can say Kiddush, which is the Halacha. Rav Yosha would daven, he would daven Mariv on Saturday night on Motzei Shabbos early. Did he say Avdallah on the coast or not? Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that you can say Avdallah without the fire, obviously, because it's still Shabbos, but, and that's the halacha. So Rav said on this side of the pillar, Rav Yishmael bar Rav Yossi davened a, he brought in Shabbos early, and Ula says, no, it wasn't on the side of the pillar, it was on the side of a date tree, and it was actually Rav Elazar bar Rav Yossi, and he was davening an early Mariv of Saturday night. And we said, Mariv is Ein Lakev, it has no set time. So what does that mean? If you're just teaching me that it can be said all night, then just say that you could daven Mariv all night. So it's coming to teach that it agrees with Rabbi Yeshua that Mariv is Rishus, that's optional, over Rabbi Gamliel, who says it's a Chova, that you have to do it. And Abai says, yeah, Mariv is a Chiyuv, but Rava says, no, Mariv is a Rishus. So we bring in this brayso that someone came to Rabbi Yeshua and they said, is Mariv a Rishus or a Chova? And Rabbi Yeshua says, it's a Rishus. So then he went to Rabbi Gamliel and he says, is Mariv a Rishus or a Chova? And Rabbi Gamliel says, it's a Chova. But the guy's like, well, Rabbi Yeshua just told me that it's a Rishus. So how does that make sense? So he said, well, let's see what all the Talmidei Chachamim think. So when they all came in, this guy got up and said, is Mariv a Rishus or a Chova? And Rabbi Gamliel says, who was the Nasi at the time, which is an important thing to know for later on. He was the Nasi. He was the head of the base medrash, basically, the head of the generation. Rabbi Gamliel says, it's a Chiyuv to daven Mariv. Does anyone disagree with me? Rabbi Yoshua is like, no, of course not. Everyone agrees with you. You're the Gadol Ador. And Rabbi Gamliel says, well, you know, this guy just came and said that you said that Mariv is Rishus. So stand up and admit that you said it was Rishus. Yoshua says, all right, yeah, this guy's alive. You know, I can't deny it. He's standing right here. So Rabbi Gamliel went back to teaching his lecture, and he made Rabbi Yoshua stay standing because there was a rule back then that you couldn't sit until you were allowed to be seated. So he was standing this entire time, and then the Rabbanan got very upset, and they said, Rabbi Gamliel has been troubling Rabbi Yeshua too much. Last Rosh Hashanah, he distressed him and he troubled him with this whole issue with the Bechor and Rav Tzadok. We'll get to that later in Shas. And now he's troubling him again with this whole thing, making him stand. And that's just not befitting of a Nasi to be taking, you know, to be acting so strictly with people. So they decided that they were going to depose Rabbi Gamliel. They said, who should we replace him with? We can't replace him with Rabbi Yeshua because he was a part of the incident. And that's just going to cause unnecessary distress to Rabbi Gamliel. And he's going to say that he's going to see Rabbi Yeshua taking his place. We can't put in Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva doesn't have the zchus avos to protect him. Meaning, if Rabbi Gamliel davened and he was really distressed, then that might cause something bad to happen to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't have the merit of earlier generations to protect him because he was a ger. So they decided to do Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who is wise, so he can answer questions. He's rich, so that he can deal with a Caesar if he has to, and he's from the lineage of Ezra, so he does have this merit of earlier generations. So they asked Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah if he wanted to do, and he said, okay, I'm going to consult with my wife. And she said, well, maybe they're going to depose you also. He said, well, if I have the option to do it even for a short time, to be the Nasi for a short time, it's better than nothing. She said, well, you're way too young. You're only 18. I said, okay, well, I guess that's true. But that night, there was a nace, and there were 18 rows of white hair that grew in his beard. They changed to white. And that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, it's as if I'm 70 years old. Hare kiben shivim shana. He says, it's as if I am 70 years old. And he says, Hare ani kiben shivim shana. He says, it's as if I'm 70 years old. But he doesn't say I'm 70 years old because he only looked like he was 70 years old while he was 18 years old. Shkayach.